Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Friday, story time. Here's our friend, our dearest, dearest football friend, Joey Harrington. How's your week going?
I'm only a friend during football?
No, I just called you a football friend.
But I guess that would imply that I'm not another kind of friend.
Well, listen, you don't invite us over.
Yeah, I've yet to be on the couch. I'm just saying.
We don't golf.
You
know, I mean,
we're at the Timber Games together, but I'm not invited to sit with you. I mean, I...
Well, I'd like to go to Augusta, but you know what? Some things just...
Yeah.
Hey, well, there's two of us here that have been to Augusta and one that hasn't. Therefore, if anyone has a right to be upset, again, I'm going back to me. Christmas party invite?
All
I have to lurk
is about
in the...
me.
I have to lurk in the bushes at the Christmas party.
I didn't have a Christmas party. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, hey, good to see you guys.
Do you see us? Are you watching us on YouTube?
Oh, that's right. You're on YouTube.
Yeah, so are you. Well, not really.
I mean, now?
Well, yeah, but you're not your face, but...
Yeah, just you.
Your voice.
You don't have
like a
hologram like Caleb Williams did? Like
Caleb Williams had a hologram?
You didn't see that? That's how he was introduced to like the season ticket holders or something in Chicago.
Oh.
It was like a hologram.
Oh.
No, I didn't see that. Cool.
Yeah, I figured you guys would be up on the hip new talk.
Is that how they did that with you when they introduced you in Detroit back in the day?
No, I showed up with some ORYGUN bumper stickers.
What? You had bumper stickers?
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was out there for like pre-draft stuff, Kurt Sylvester and Mike. Oh boy. Kurt Sylvester and Mike. Oh man. Why am I drawing a blank on Mike's last name? Anyway, they're the beat writers forever. Detroit Free Press and the news. And Mike mispronounced Oregon like, you know, any East Coast would. It was Oregon. And I was like, oh, come on. And so I brought him a bumper sticker when I got drafted. I was like, oh, I remember this. And so he was like, hey, we're going to be working together for a while. Here's how you pronounce my state. I don't know. Thought it was clever. Maybe not.
All right. By the way,
man, we have really had like, let's try this again. Story time with Joey. Okay, here's the Mario Kart music. Hey, good to see you.
Hey, what's up, Joey? Good to see you, good old friend.
Man.
By the way, I'm watching the hologram moment. That is pretty cool. So they had obviously a party in Chicago, and Caleb Williams was at the draft, so they beamed him into the party. Hologram style.
Pretty cool.
So he was doing an interview with the guy on stage for all the Bears fans that were there going crazy.
Did you have to do a bunch of initial though? Did you go to season ticket holder parties? Did you have events? Was that or was it did you just get there and like right to work?
Nothing.
Nothing. Literally nothing. Like so all of you know, the big thing now or I don't even know if they still do it now, but the big thing then was like the owner threw you on their private jet and like flew you out and you were there, but nope. I was drafted. So let's see, the draft started at like I think it started at like 8 o'clock in the morning, our time. May have been 9 o'clock on the West Coast. and I was drafted in the first half hour. And then, you know, you kind of get through all the stuff and, you know, all the, you know, you talk to the coach, talk to the GM and your agent and kind of figure things out. And I hear how, you know, here's what your next couple days is going to look like. And then they gave me a plane ticket that left, you know, the next day out of Portland. I was like, oh, so I guess I'm just kind of chilling here for the... So we went down to Rose City and, I played nine. I played the back nine at Rose City and walked around with a six pack with cool. my brothers and cousin and one of my uncles.
Huh. What kind of beer?
I actually don't remember, to be perfectly honest.
So what's it like? So you get drafted, and then you know, obviously you do the media and different things for a couple of days. But what then is it like for the draft picks? For the, you know, the couple months leading up to camp.
Again, like, it was so different for me coming from Oregon because they had, and I don't even know if they have this rule in place now.
Yeah, you go to school, right?
Exactly. We couldn't go to, I couldn't report to my team until my school had been adjourned. And since Oregon was on the quarter system, we didn't get out until, what, the second week of June? And so all the other teams that are, you know, out and or all the other schools that are out in end of April, beginning of May, they could report to their teams. I was just sitting. I've told you this. I was sitting in Eugene. I bartended at
Bartending. For a while. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember if that was before the draft or after.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still a thing, but yeah, I remember that. I mean, we were around the same time, and yeah, we had that where a bunch of our guys couldn't come.
Mm. Yeah, it was a really and frankly, I mean, I'll be honest. I was part of the. I could have been in New York, right? I could have done that whole fancy schmancy and, you know, big roar they do at Radio City Music Hall. Yeah. We got like six tickets, right? So I said, hey, if you want to come to New York, you know, you're invited, you can be there and bring six people. You know, one, you know, it's like eight person tables and you have one seat for your agent and then six family members. I was like, well, I mean, I'm sorry, but my family goes like 40 deep. Like I'm not doing this with just like six of us. So I said, no, thanks. You know, I'm just going to sit at home and I'll be, you know, we'll be at my grandma and grandpa's house. And that's where, you know, all the TV, I remember all the TV cameras were like perched outside with like the satellite trucks. And as soon as it was all announced, I went out on the front porch and, you know, did the interviews with local media and a few national people, but mostly just local stuff. And, so yeah, I mean, I think I was part of, I won't say dragging my feet, right? But I will definitely say that I was very hesitant to buy into the life, buy into the, you know, we've talked about this world that just like doesn't exist
the
outside
trappings.
Of its own little circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was really hesitant to jump into it. And frankly, that was part of the reason why I wasn't as successful on the field as I probably wanted to be.
When did
because you? I was probably holding something back.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard you say that before, that you think that might have contributed to a lack of success on the field.
I will say that I was always hesitant to lose that connection, right? There was, as much as I put in, you know, as much work as I put in when I was in Detroit or in Miami, like I was always keeping a connection back home. And I don't know that I was ever truly able to, like, you see guys now who, and it's become the norm as opposed to an exception. You know, when I was playing, obviously we're talking 20 years ago, the exception was taking your wide receivers, you know, somewhere for 2 weeks before the draft or before camp starts and just having like an intensive week of training. Like I wasn't doing that. Like I was making sure that I was home and grounded and you know, I still go on a family vacation and all right, I'm refreshed and I'm ready to go.
Interesting.
All right. And
is it the thing with like sometimes the obsessive guy that's unhealthy ends up being the most successful guy.
For sure. For sure. I mean, it's you go down the line, find me an incredibly, I just thought of one. I'll say it anyway. Find me an incredibly successful guy who hasn't had some sort of like post career, you know, whether it was divorce or, you know, family problems or financial problems or
pills,
like,
booze.
Because yeah. And I was always like, I'm not going to let that happen to me. And I would probably say that it's fair to say that, looking back, I'm sure that that mindset in some way probably held me back from truly accomplishing everything that I wanted to on the field.
Do you regret any of it?
No.
Why?
No, I don't. Because I love where I am right now.
Yeah.
Right? I love the fact that I get to be part of my kids' lives. I love the fact that I picked up Jack from school today, right? Picked him up, took him to soccer, took Emmett to school this morning. You know, I get to be around for all these things. Like, this is, and not only just today, but I've been able to do that for the last 10 years. You know, my body hurts. You know, we've talked about all the surgeries. Like, I was laughing with a buddy today. Like, oh, I've gone through 4 years of knee surgeries on my right side. Now my left hip is hurting. I was like, it's probably going next. You know, like, I don't regret it because I don't regret having perspective. I think let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Would I have loved to have more success on the field? Sure. Do I think that there are ways that I probably could have done things better? Absolutely. But at the time, I was doing the best that I could, and I was managing and handling things in the way that I thought was best for me and the trajectory that I wanted in all areas of life. And looking back, do you say, yeah, that probably could have, should have been a little bit different? Yeah, but I feel good in knowing that I did things the way that I wanted to, and I don't regret that.
Well said. Some of it's just hindsight, you know. But all right, so let's take a break. We're with Joey Harrington here, former Lions quarterback, Ducks. You saw Peyton and Drew Brees up close. You were there in New Orleans with those guys. Bo Nix goes to play for Sean Payton in Denver. A lot of people saying that's a great fit. We want your perspective on that. When we return with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX, on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Story time each Friday. You, unique perspective, sir. Bo Nix goes to Denver to play with Sean Payton. You got a front row seat to some Sean Payton, Drew Brees work there in New Orleans. Why do you think, or do you see it as such, that everyone's saying Bo Nix such a great fit in Denver with Payton? Do you think that that is true based on what you've seen and what you know of Bo?
I couldn't think of a better fit. I mean, it is, Bo's a gym rat. Bo is literally the kid where if there's a football, he's going to go play. And not only is he going to go play, but he's going to study, and he's going to play. He's going to make a mistake. He's going to learn. He's going to fix the mistake. He's going to go out. He's going to do it the right. That is exactly what Sean wants in the mentality of a quarterback. Now you look at who the style of play. Drew was not a big arm guy. Drew was chunk. Like Dan Orlovsky always says, just hit singles. Just throw it in the flat. Throw it here. You know, just take it and bam, hit it over the top. Take it and take it, wham, across the middle. Like, and that is what Bo will do. Like, he is a smart, athletic, accurate quarterback who loves to play the game and loves to work at the game. Like, that is, I mean, if I don't know that there's a better marriage between rookie quarterback and head coach.
Talk to me about Sean Payton too, because I made the point that I think there's a ton riding on this for Bo Nix. It's his career, but I kind of feel like a lot's riding this on for Sean Payton. Like, Sean Payton gets talked about as this, you know, quarterback whisperer. And, you know, is it fair to say, you know, you have Drew Brees. Drew Brees is pretty good. And we haven't seen Payton, and it's a very small sample, we haven't seen Payton have any success outside of Drew Brees. So I made the argument, I mean, he's hitching his wagon to Bo Nix. This is kind of essentially a do or die for both guys. So what is it about Sean Payton where we talk about him with such reverence?
Well, would you call him a quarterback whisperer?
Well, that's kind of what that's what people talk about, and I'm not certain if it's deserved, or is he just a good coach that had Drew Brees?
Well, but think about this. How was Russell Wilson before Sean Payton got there? And obviously he and Sean did not get along. They were oil and water. But that was a personality thing, right?
Yeah.
Sean wants somebody who's going to work. Sean wants somebody who is business. Sean wants somebody who's a gym rat. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson was worried about his brand.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you look at what Sean Payton did with Russell statistically, like football-wise, the turnaround from Russell's first year to his second year in Denver is pretty dramatic.
Yeah, it was much better.
You know, what was it? Was it lights out? You know, making, you know, going to the Super Bowl? No, it wasn't. But what was he? 27 touchdowns, 6 picks. It was pretty dang good.
Yeah, it was a lot
much better. Yeah, he improved him for sure.
Was he 100? Was he 100 as a passer rating?
I don't think so.
Pull up the stats. I'm going to say if he wasn't 100, he was 98.
All right, let's take a look-see.
Like, I'm saying what Sean Payton did with Russell Wilson last year on the football field was pretty dramatic. And that didn't end because of on-the-field, you know, terribleness. It ended because Sean made the decision that he and Russell could not work together and be successful with what he wanted to do. So I would actually argue that might have been one of his better coaching. You know, look at Russell 2 years ago versus last year. I would really be curious to see touchdown to interception ratio from 2 years ago to last year. It was pretty dramatic.
Yeah,
now,
he went his obviously, with Hackett. He was 60% completion, 16 touchdowns, 11 picks. With Payton, 66%, 26-8, and a 94 rating up from 84. 98 rating, yeah.
84.
Big from 84 to 98. So, yes, a massive jump across the board.
He was definitely better. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he is a quarterback whisperer.
I think that any, like, you start talking about the word, you know, everybody uses the word guru.
Yeah.
Sean Payton has talked about in the elite class of coaches because he won a Super Bowl,
yeah.
Right? And whether you have Drew Brees, I mean, hey, How many seasons did Mike McCarthy have Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, a bunch. Right? Got one.
Mike Holmgren. You know? Like, you start going down these lists of great coaches that had Hall of Famers for their entire career and barely got one Super Bowl. It's a tough thing to do. It's really hard. And so I think part of why people revere Sean Payton is because he's been able to, even after Drew left, they still made the playoffs. They were still a playoff team, right? And so what he was able to do and able to instill, Bill Parcells only won one Super Bowl, right?
He won two, one with Phil and one with Hallstedler. So he won two.
No, that was the same year.
No, he won two. Phil Simms won a Super Bowl and Jeff Hostetler won a Super Bowl. Parcells won two because Belichick was the defensive coordinator on both. They won two.
Two-time Super Bowl champion. Yep. 21 and 25.
Yeah.
Dang it.
In your face.
But yes, to your point, there's a lot of really good coaches that have never won one. And getting one puts you in elite company.
Right.
One other topic.
I think it's a perfect fit. Yeah.
Okay. One other topic. The Falcons signed Kirk Cousins and then drafted Michael Penix. How do you think that plays out? Like, take us into the starting quarterback, backup quarterback relationship. And in this instance, particularly, what do you think happens?
In this situation, it has to be cordial. Like there has to be. Okay, ask me differently. What do I think happens?
No, no.
Or
okay.
What do you like? Go ahead.
General question then. What is the? Let people behind the curtain as to generally speaking what the starter backup quarterback relationship is like.
Depends on where you are. If you are Patrick Mahomes, doesn't matter who the backup is.
Yeah,
because right? You know you're not getting. Yeah,
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Most anywhere else, and even in a situation like Kirk Cousins, who just signed $100 million guaranteed over the next 2 years. What was $180 million for the total contract?
Yeah.
Teams are still making business decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And while he may be pissed off that they didn't use their first-round draft pick to make this year's team better, their front office may very well be saying, I think with Kirk, I think we're going to be pretty dang good this year. And it's going to be enough to maybe take us to the playoffs this year, which is good enough to get us to the next phase of next year, right? Which is, all right, now we start to put in place Mike, and to have the luxury of having Michael Penix there. Like, they had, it came out that he was the number two quarterback on their board. After Caleb Williams, it was Michael Penix. To be able to have the luxury at pick number, what was he, eight, 10?
Eight.
He went eight, JJ went 10. At pick number eight, to still have him sitting there, oh boy.
You just kind of do it. And Cousins, just, yeah.
And I don't, I understand both sides of the argument. I really do. And you can make anybody can make me an argument that I would say, oh, yeah, you got some valid points there. But at the end of the day, this is a business decision made by a organization that is just trying to make money. That's trying to win football games. It's not just this year, but for a long time coming.
Yeah, and Cousins called him last night. I guess the report is that Kirk initiated the conversation, and Penix said it was very cordial. He was super cool to him. I can't imagine it's like that in all situations, and Kirk Cousins got to be pretty fired up. At the same time, you right at the beginning, you said it kind of has to be cordial. It kind of does, right? You're all in it together. You know that obviously you could be replaced, but play better, right? Like it's kind of, it seems to be the attitude of the starter how that's handled. I know Brady never liked it, right? With Jimmy Garoppolo.
He was never happy. And Aaron Rodgers wasn't thrilled with Jordan Love. And Roethlisberger was notoriously a little, you know what about it.
Yeah, that's right. So that was interesting. You never really had that, did you? Did you have a young guy behind you?
I was never old enough to have a young guy behind me. I had it 1 year in Detroit. My last year in Detroit, they brought in Jeff Garcia. And, you know, they brought him in to replace me. And the moment that he got there, he took all the offensive linemen, you know, a big weekend. I think it took him to like Lake of the Ozarks or something like that. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, this guy is coming in and just trying to take this team over. I was like, oh, like this doesn't sit right. We were very cordial and, you know, it ended up working out fine. But it never really sat right.
Well, yeah.
Right? It never really, but I don't know. What do you do?
Well, he probably could have talked to you first. I mean, that would have been the first thing. Like, the first impression of Jeff Garcia shouldn't be him taking all your offensive linemen out to the Ozarks.
Weird.
That's a little odd. Call Joey first. I mean, a little respect.
Well, and let's also be honest here. I'm sure the conversation that Mooch had with him when he came in was like, hey, I want you to come be our quarterback. And then he broke his leg in the preseason and, you know.
That's what happened. Okay. Well, Bingo. Okay. On the Cousins Penix thing, just a couple of other little questions. How long is long enough for a young guy to sit behind a veteran? Like, what do you think is reasonable there, or is it the more years you sit?
There is no reasonable. You're paying Kirk $50 million a year for the next 2 years. There's no reasonable. Yeah. Like, he's down for 2 years. You're not going to pay Kirk. You've got $100 million guaranteed. You're not paying him $50 million to sit on the sideline.
No, I'm saying Penix.
I know, but in order for Penix to play, Kirk has to sit, right?
Yeah. So, well, I just mean in terms of like picking up the game. Let me ask you in a different way. If you could have sat behind a veteran for a year or two, what do you think would have been different? And how long would that time frame be before it's like, okay, I know the offense. I'm ready to go in when my number's called.
I would have absolutely 100% benefited from sitting for a year or two. 1,000%. Now I couldn't voice that. You can't come in there and say, I wanted to tell Millen that, you know, I wanted to tell Millen, but you can't, you know, all right, you ready to play? Well, actually, no, coach, I'd like to sit and, you know, learn a little bit more. Like, you're not given that luxury. How long is long enough? I don't know. I mean, with Penix, it's also a little bit different because it's not like he's a 21-year-old coming out. Dude's 24.
I know.
So he will be sitting for the next 2 years. He's going to be 26 before he starts I don't know what his birthday is, but maybe 27 before he starts an NFL football game, barring injury.
It's crazy. All right. Well, I don't know, but I guess that's another offshoot of the whole Cousins Penix thing. Everybody wants to just kill the Falcons for this move, but another little thing that nobody's really talking about is this is going to benefit Michael Penix.
Yeah, you would think.
As a professional.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's that.
I would think so. I can't think of one. Name me a first-round quarterback in recent memory who has been drafted and sat who did not have long-term success.
I'd have to think.
Well, you got Jordan Love. You got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
There haven't been many.
Carson Palmer.
Yeah, Palmer sat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Eli Manning.
Who was Eli behind?
Kurt Warner.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Bree sat. I mean, no, it wasn't a first-round pick, but Bree sat behind Rivers.
No. Bree sat behind Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Like, there have been so many more examples of first-rounders being drafted and sitting and ending up successful than being drafted and playing. I don't fault this logic at all. The question is whether you can be good enough in the time frame to get to them and still have a job.
Right. Well, I got my raffle tickets today. I'm hoping to win some shoesies, some Nike, some Nike shoes that I won't wear.
There you go.
And I'll frame.
He's put on the wall.
Put them on my wall. The raffle is at the Harrington Family Foundation website, which is harringtonfamilyfoundation.org. If you click on Sneakers for Scholarships, got a couple of pretty sweet kicks on there to be raffled off. And then what do we have?
One more week.
A week, yeah. 7 days left.
Let's push that. Come on, let's go. This all goes to a wonderful cause. And these are like, I mean, the ones that are made for the foundation, you said it's like one of what, six or seven pairs?
Seven pair.
So, like, if you're a sneakerhead, this is as exclusive as it gets. And raffle tickets are $40.
And describe them. What do they look like?
They're the Jordan 1 highs, right?
Well, they look, they're that's awesomeness on your feet is is what I would describe them. No, they're Jordan 1s in the foundation colors, the foundation logo. It's actually, and I told you this last week, like, this is the, according to Tinker, it's the only Jordan 1 he's ever done. Because the Jordan 1 was Peter Moore's design, and he said he'd never touched it until now. So he just wanted it to be clean and classic, and that's what it is. And then we paired it with something that is completely not clean and classic, and the Jordan 1 Off-White Chicago's. So, you know, that's about as abstract as you can get. So a couple different ends of the sneaker spectrum, both I would say fairly valuable.
So raffle tickets are only $40 each. You can buy as many as you want, or you can just donate. But it all supports Joey's foundation, and local students get scholarships. And these are sweet shoes. I'm just looking at them, photos of them for the first time. Pretty rad, bro. Yeah, I'd be so hip with the kids if I win those.
Do you think there would be any perceptions of impropriety if you won?
Yes, which is, I've 100%. Had this thought. Every time I buy your raffle tickets, I'm like, there's no chance he's going to let me win. They're going to pull my name and they're going to put it right back in.
It is literally like it's computer drawn. Like we just click a button and it pops up.
I don't buy that.
Hey, Tom Smith.
Yeah. Isaac Rupp, wait.
We did the first liquor one. A buddy of mine, listener to the show, he won it.
Dude, you and I ain't winning this.
No, no, no.
Bastard.
I got it rigged.
Yeah. I know you do.
Well, I retweeted it too, so it's to a great cause, and these are great shoes. So let's all the sneakerheads help spread the word, and
let's go.
Let's move some raffle tickets.
Harrington,
I appreciate it, guys.
familyfoundation.org or Suk and Joey's Twitter and mine. I'll tweet it out here in a moment. Thank you.
Is it going on the Copa Isace?
I'm sorry, what?
Website? Are you putting it on the website?
Under construction.
it's a work in progress.
But I will put that on there for you.
Isachi. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Have a good weekend.
See you guys.
All right. Joey. How about that guy? All right. We're way over. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on the second round. Nemec is still here, and then we'll goof off. Suk's about to catch a plane to St. Lucia.
Let's go.
Come on, man. So fun.
I got to get out of here.
Put me in your baggage.
Well,
take me with you.
Nemec, he's a little fella. He could probably fit.
The Draft Gnome returns to our show next. 608 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app. We'll be right back.